Let's take a journey. Well, welcome to A Day's Journey podcast, where we will embark on a voyage of transformation towards healing, wellness, and trusting in the guiding light of Jesus. I am so thrilled to kick off season 5, where we will delve into the profound process of uprooting traumas and strongholds while paving the way for a life deeply rooted in Christ's love. Through heartfelt conversations and personal narratives, we will explore the power of faith, self-awareness, and vulnerability in overcoming life's challenges. Our mission is clear: to offer a nurturing space where healing flourishes and being authentic reigns supreme. Join me on this journey of becoming whole as we navigate the path towards flourishing and embracing our true selves in the comforting of embracing of Christ. Let's embark together on A Day's Journey podcast, where healing and wholeness awaits. I am your host, Miyoshi Walker. I am a faith coach, grief advocate, author, and speaker. Let's embark on this journey of healing together. Let's heal out loud. Hello, and welcome to another day of A Day's Journey podcast with Miyoshi Walker. This is episode 10. I'm going to be speaking about the topic, pruning the past and strategies for releasing and healing from old wounds. And again, I would like to start out with a disclaimer. I am sharing based on my own experiences through prayer and guidance and counseling and research over the years. I am not a professional, but I am sharing simply based off of my experiences and the tools that have assisted me in my healing. So let's get into it. So again, welcome back to another week. And I just would like to apologize for not being available on next week. I definitely have been in a wilderness space. We've had an emergency at our home with a small fire. So it was several things going on, but God has seen us through and provided along the way and have revealed some things to me about myself. So with that, I am thankful and grateful for the opportunity to be able to just trust Him in faith and knowing that He provided and made a way. And I'm going to start out by mentioning that the very thing that I'm speaking on is the topic I was supposed to speak on last week. However, it's so in alignment what I went through and experienced, and God just so amazing. He is so amazing of how He strategically do things for those that He love. And for that fact, I am very grateful and thankful for just Him just thinking of me in terms of where He wants to get me, things that He wants to do within me. But the experiences that we think that are bad, but it's actually to shape us. So I know that there's times where, you know, we can feel so lost and so, you know, discombobulated and where we don't know what to do or what should happen next. And the other thing I want to mention is that our oldest son got married on last week. And so we're excited about that, about him and his wife, Brittany, on their new journey of, you know, marriage and their family. So continue to pray and uplift them. And we're excited about our family growing and expanding in which God see fit. So let's get into the topic, pruning the past. And I'm going to speak about strategies for releasing and healing from old wounds. And the very thing, this very thing is what God dealt with me. And I'm just, you know, as I was just looking over my notes and my thoughts, I'm thinking, God, You're so amazing. This very thing that You were going to have me to speak on, and all these things and distractions that happened the week I was supposed to speak on it, I had to live it, experience it, and put it into action. So let's look at the word pruning. Pruning means to cut off or cut back parts for a better shape or more fruitful growth. Pruning of the branches of a tree, cut away what is unwanted. And the context in the terms of gardening, meaning to prune, to trim the tree, the shrub, the bush, or cutting away the dead or overgrown branches or stems, especially to encourage the growth on the particular bush or tree. So this applies, it can apply to our lives as well, because things that is no longer serving us, or that is dead, or that that needs to be cut away, is the same thing that we would prune things within our lives. And just as plants develop dead or overgrown branches that can hinder them from their growth, as that can happen to us, it can decrease our fruit that we are to yield, have us to have stagnant growth and won't be able to grow. You know, sometimes our character requires pruning, you know, trimming those unwanted thought patterns, those beliefs that we have, unhealthy emotions, and all of those things that we deal with over time, or that we gain over time. And those things can stunt our personal growth. And so in turn, it can result in the effectiveness and the meaningfulness of our actions. And looking at and reflecting back, I began to pray for God to work on my personal growth, my personal development, you know, within these last couple of months, for him to do that. But what that would look like, I had no idea. I had no idea of what that would look like. So, you know, as children, or as when we were growing into, from children to young adults, you know, we've all encountered these gardeners, whether it was our parents, our caregivers, our teachers, you know, mentors at work, or, you know, your spouse, or whomever it may be. You know, they aided us with, you know, of being able to have this introspection of what, you know, life can be like, or how it can be. And what we need to recognize is that where we need to be pruned, or how we can, you know, be the best, or how can the best be brought from within us. And so with introspection, the dictionary defines that as the examination or observation of one's own mental and emotional processes. So those can be like our hidden thoughts and emotions. But if we look at it consciously and thoroughly, and knowing that just over time, you know, things that, you know, may have taken place, which is jealousy, strife, ego, gossiping, or covetousness, or just, you know, these condescending behaviors, our pride, selfishness, things like that, that's within us. And it takes, you know, influence over us in the way we think and act. Those are things that are introspection of what need to be pruned from us. And one of the things that, you know, we need to look at is that we have to know that no matter what we go through, that we need to be pruned. We need to be pruned in some type of way, whether, like I mentioned, whether it's, you know, a thought process, covetousness, exaggeration of things, those condescending behaviors, that pride, that selfishness, those things that are developed or become a part of us over time. So those things have to be pruned and removed from us in order for us to be more like Christ in his image, and more for us to be able to see who we are in him. And so I want to just know that in times we have to draw our strength from God through prayer. And in those times when we are weak, or those times where we feel like we can't go on, we have to remember, I will never forget that Charles Stanley, that was a pastor for many years, one thing that stuck with me when he said that attacks come, we have to remember the acronym HALT. When we're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, that's when Satan will attack. And I have found that to be true over the years. And so when, you know, these last couple of weeks that I have been in a position of tiredness, or, you know, just unwanted or unknown anger, I found myself in a position of possessing, you know, some unwanted emotions and feelings within me. And then especially the part of me reflecting and thinking back on, you know, when God told me to speak about those rooted issues, and little did I know that he was going to intersect me and allow me to come with some things that I thought I was fully and completely healed from. But however, he brought those things to the forefront, you know, over these past couple of weeks. And so with that, I had to know that no matter what, I had to, you know, recognize those efforts as me seeing or knowing those expectations that I was expecting every time of experiencing something with about the individual or the situations. And as a result, you know, sometimes we can have those unmet expectations and then we start, you know, turning sour or bitter towards those things that, you know, no longer serves us or that we felt that we was healed from. And then so in that, you know, it's times that we can allow ourselves to be pulled back into something that we have either healed from, grown from, and then that results to needing to be pruned. And so it's times that we have to think of how our thoughts and our emotions can manifest into our actions. I know for me, I experienced that, you know, every time, you know, we talk about a particular thing or person, or I would talk about a particular thing or person, you know, rather than to try to find fault or, you know, discredit that person or thing, I would feel like I am, you know, towing the line of everything and everyone else, you know, who's, you know, instead of recognizing something within myself. So I had to establish my need for recognition in terms of, you know, who I am and not, you know, expecting it from man per se. And then you can also end up taking the credit for the efforts that individuals try and, you know, sum up to make things better. But if we have the bitterness and we have certain expectations, or we have, you know, that ego or that strife or that condescending behavior, it can prevent us from moving forward into what God is trying to do with us and pruning those things that are dysfunctional and detrimental to our growth. And so when we, you know, run our own races, and when we can change and have our mind and emotions paint a different picture that, you know, put us in a position for what is better instead of what is not, those negative things, we can, you know, continue to have ourselves to demonstrate easily how we can allow our thoughts and emotions to derail us if we're not careful to examine them periodically and then prune what, like I mentioned, those dysfunctional and detrimental things to our growth. And so while we, you know, we need to know that we need to prune those dysfunctional and detrimental things to our growth, it is a painful process. However, it is necessary. And it has great benefits in it. And I can say that and speak that because God recently just had me to just come up in complete full circle with this and recognize it and live in it and experience it. So you know what I mean? It's fresh with me with this latest, you know, thing that I had to go through to prune, to position me, to put me in position. And so I know that no one likes to feel uncomfortable or displaced or, you know, out of his or her comfort zone. But that's the first thing that pruning does. It gets us uncomfortable. It allows us to feel displaced, get us out of our comfort zone. But with our consciousness and what's to be counterproductive within us, it exposes us to learn new things that can make us uncomfortable or challenge us to define our comfort zone, because it advocates that self-awareness, that acceptance, that change, that growth that we desire to have. So just as cutting through an object physically requires effort and endurance, so does pruning our minds and our hearts and emotions. And it requires that mental strength and discipline to go through that process. So pruning our character might not be a piece of cake or easy to do. However, nonetheless, it's worthwhile the pursuit in order for it to happen. So what makes this so meaningful to pursue, you might ask? So there's three benefits that I saw that was beneficial in my life experiences from the pruning. So pruning, number one, it removes, it removes the ineffective what's ineffective within us. And so our negative thoughts and emotions that might have a way of embedding that viciousness into our, you know, minds and belief systems and our attitude, resulting to in like stunning our perception and our outlook and actions. And so these are like, you know, those dead overgrown branches and stems and things that's on a tree that won't contribute to the growth of the of what is planted, the tree or the bush or whatever it may be. So when we prune our character and weed out the negative and dysfunctional traits, we remove those triggers that cause us to resort to poor behavior and to stay stuck in that mediocrity of while we aspire for a success and growth. So when we prune, by pruning, it removes that ineffectiveness within us. And so I've learned over time that when I cut things off or remove things that's no longer serving me, or, you know, checking my attitude, or, you know, the things of my character, and weeding those things out and getting rid of those dysfunctional traits from, you know, what I've learned over time or just from upbringing, you know, it has allowed me to become more effective. And so the second thing pruning does, it fosters growth. When I begin to cut off those things and realize those things, I begin to grow in areas of what I know that I've been praying for and how God to change me. And so when, just like when a branch or a stem dies, growth no longer occurs in that area. So when we want to grow and develop ourselves further to succeed, those dead stem and branches in our character result in the same outcome: no characteristic growth. So by allowing ourselves to weed out what's unfavorable within us, we make room to continue to mature our character through those examinations and observations of our thoughts and emotions that's giving them room to accept who we are and to the change that we are trying to align ourselves of who we want to be with. So pruning fosters that new growth that can be within us, but we have to be willing to surrender, willing to be vulnerable, willing to be honest with ourselves, willing to let those things go that we hold on as those mechanisms to possibly, you know, just say, this is who I am and this is where I want to stay, or that protective wall we may put up. But when you prune those things, new growth can happen. And then the third thing that I realized that pruning helps with is that self-actualization. So with that, it means that we can achieve our full potential. I began seeing full potential in things that I was doing. And so in the pursuit of this, I began to develop those things that can bring out the best that was within me. And when I begin to prune those things, it becomes necessary because, you know, I want an end result, an end solution in order to make me to become better, to prune those things that's no longer servicing me, or those things that are weighing me down or stunning my growth. And so pruning our character, it teaches us to remove what's ineffective within us to establish a healthy, self-made focus, image on becoming the most and the best that we can be, while encouraging those growth aspects in our lives. So if you don't want to, you know, just continue just to be in the same place, or, you know, you have the intention to purposefully stop some things or some in some areas, or think about where you're headed in life or who you want to be, I urge you to consider, you know, pruning yourself to prosper. And at the end of the day, you know, it's a win-win for you and for, you know, who you want to become. Because when we look at the introspective things and, you know, we grow and we try to become the best version of ourselves, just when we are pruned and the plant grows and it flourishes, you know, that's when you start seeing the fruit, the abundance of the fruit that's within you, that's always been within you. And then you will see the fruit of your character develop, and then the influence those lives that are around you and, you know, have that positive outcome and, be able to yield great fruit and have those interactions professionally and, you know, personally within yourself when you start pruning those things. So here are some things that I want us to look at that I had to do. I started by identifying and recognizing where I needed to be pruned. And so for that, I began to, you know, educate my mind, read on some things, pray. I incorporated, you know, a religion, having a closer relationship with God and my spirituality. It helped to grow in those areas, to whereas if I, you know, was, you know, had a problem with forgiveness, but I would ask God to soften my heart and allow me to forgive, you know, those who have wronged me, or that I can display forgiveness to whomever and receive it, and vice versa. You know, I had to, you know, do that, but I had to also resist the pressure of others, what their needs were, while I was also pruning so that I wouldn't become stagnant. Because sometimes we can, you know, become inundated with, you know, people pleasing or making sure the other person or persons is good, and you're not, you know, good yourself within. And so with the self-awareness and the boundary setting, you know, it was some practical things that I did. And I began to see and realize, and I'm gonna just name a few. One, I began to get to know myself, because I always pray to God to allow me to, you know, remain Miyoshi, who he created me to be, but also prune those things that was not good for me, and allow me to get to know myself of what I wanted, to where I can please him. And so with that, it took time to understand my wants, my needs, my values, and the priorities at the age where I was, because no way that I will still have the same desires at when I was 20 that I wanted at in my 30s and then in my 40s. No, those desires changed. So I got to know myself, of knowing, you know, what was needed, and understand my wants, needs, values, and priorities. And then I became very self-aware of, you know, the decision-making that I wanted to align with me becoming who I was and authentic to who I was created to be, and not put on a facade of having it together or being something that I was not. And then when I began to know myself and knew what my needs, values, and priorities was, I was able to establish those boundaries. I was able to define my boundaries, my personal and professional boundaries, and communicate them effectively and respectfully to others. You know, even though I was maybe firm in some ways and saying no to requests and demands that conflicted with my boundaries, I was able to establish those boundaries and knowing what was good for me and not, and where I wanted to, you know, have it to have me in a mind space. So I had to know and establish those boundaries. And then the other thing was, I had to learn to say no, and that knowing that no was a complete sentence, and it was okay to give a no without an explanation. And it's okay to decline requests or invitations that don't align with where my priorities and values are at the time. And saying no does not make you selfish. It's essential to protect your time, energy, and well-being. So I had to learn that it was okay to say no. And then the other thing I learned was setting priorities. I began to, you know, identify what priorities I wanted in my life, and I began to allocate my time and resources accordingly. I focused on relationships and things that brought me joy and fulfillment in my personal growth and development, and I let go of those things that did not serve me. And that's when the pruning processes, you know, with all these things began to take place. And then I had to also, during that time, I had to practice self-compassion, because I wasn't, you know, kind to myself. I would always put others, you know, before me in a way and make sure they was good, and I was neglecting myself. But I had to realize and recognize that it's natural to feel the pressure from others at times. But I began to practice that self-compassion by treating myself with the same kindness and understanding that I would offer to a friend or family in a similar situation, because it was most times I would put myself on the back burner and would not do that. And then I would, I just began to pray to allow God to allow people to come into my life where I can seek support. So I would definitely encourage you to seek support by surrounding yourself with supportive individuals and positive individuals who respect your boundaries and encourage your growth. And you know, seek out, you know, those friends and family members and mentors who can provide that guidance and that encouragement and the validation of, you know, you're on the right track, you know, keep going and I'm praying for you and those things like that. So I did begin to seek support from those positive individuals, you know, just to help me navigate through on times when I felt like I couldn't make it do. And I did also, the other thing I did, I reflected regularly. I began to take time. I reflected on my choices, my behaviors, my relationships. I you know, did a heart check. I did a mind check, because if those are not in check, I'm not good. And so I had to reflect regularly to make sure that my choices, behaviors, and relationships was in alignment of where I was wanting to be and where I was going. And so I had to evaluate whether they align with my values or contribute to my overall well-being. And I had to adjust accordingly as I needed to stay true to myself, to who I was. And then I began to, you know, limit myself to negative influences. You know, if anything I felt like was drawing me back to a place where I was coming from, that I had to limit myself against those negative influences or things. I minimized, you know, whatever that exposure to those people's or persons or environments and those activities that put pressure for me to conform to their wants and their needs at the expense of my own. So I began to surround myself with positivity and inspiration instead, and, you know, limited that time, you know, and as I would call it, is FaceTime, you know, just do a little, you know, pop in and pop out or whatever it may be, because, you know, you still love people, but when you're in a transition and you're trying to change, you know, those things matter. And then I began to acknowledge and recognize the efforts and progress that I was making internally, and the things that I was pruning myself of that was holding me back. I began to recognize that personal development and personal growth is a journey, and that every step of the way is worth celebrating, you know, even if it was something small, because, you know, we don't celebrate our progress in ourselves enough. And so by incorporating and implementing these strategies along the way, I was able to resist that external pressure and that internal, you know, dialogue that I may have had with myself in the past. And then I maintain a strong sense of self-worth. I begin to prune anything that threatened to stagnate my personal growth and my well-being. And then I prioritize myself and my own needs. And it was an essential aspect of me becoming my authentic self and living in fulfillment. And so I do encourage you to, you know, think on those things and identify what it means to you to recognize where you need to be pruned and what can help you to do that. These are some things that I realized that I needed in order to have that assertiveness and self-awareness and that boundary setting where I can, you know, just ways that was practical to help me navigate, you know, why I was being pruned and when I was, you know, evolving into the person that I was purposed for. And as mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, you know, these last couple of weeks, God had me into the very thing that I'm speaking on. He was pruning some things in me that I assumed that was fully uprooted, that was still rooted in me. And he was able to fully uproot it over these past couple of weeks. But, you know, he did tell me it was a transformation journey that I was on, because I just didn't understand, because it did seem like it happened suddenly, but it was like both good and bad. I felt things were happening at the same time. But the thing that God told me during this transformation journey was to be quiet and to give it to him, that he will handle it. And then he told me to ask for exposure. It can be good or bad. So, and then ask the Holy Spirit of how to navigate it. And, you know, rebuke any thoughts that came to mind and ask the Holy Spirit if this is true, if it's something that you're trying to show me. And then I began to trust in the process of the transformation journey, because it wasn't easy to be quiet and to just listen. And that was like almost like a 7-day span of not saying anything on the situation and just give it to God and let him handle it. And when I asked for exposure, little did I know that it was going to come right on my footstep, on my doorstep, at my footstep of that it was, you know, some things that was internally that God wanted to do. And I did ask the Holy Spirit, of whatever thoughts that came, that if it is true and if it's something that you're trying to show me. And God did answer. And, you know, and in that time, you know, he did let me know not to be anxious for anything. That he said, do not be anxious for anything. When you're anxious, you can't allow the Holy Spirit to flow. So for me not to be anxious for anything, and that if the enemy can shake my spirit, he can stop my power. And so that was the very thing that the enemy did try to do. He tried to shake my spirit. He tried to keep me in a space from, you know, pruning and growing and, you know, evolving into what God was, you know, having me to evolve in. When he was God was stripping me to become better and whole and pruning those things, you know, the enemy tried to trip me up and shake up my spirit where he tried to stop my power. But I had to know that no matter what, I had to push through. I had to not allow these distractions allow me to take focus off the situation in which God was trying to do. And so, I had to allow, you know, weeping to endure, but I couldn't continue to weep. But at the same time, because I couldn't find a solution, I couldn't feel sorry for myself. I couldn't stay in the struggle, because when I released it, I wanted to release it to become an agent of change that God allowed me to do it, because there is beauty for ashes in what we do go through. And so I had to reposition myself in order for me to be pruned the way that I needed to. And I had to allow the transformation to take place in order for me to be pruned. And then Ephesians, I want to read a few scriptures. Ephesians 4, 31 through 32, it says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. And so with this verse emphasizes the importance of letting go negative emotions such as that bitterness, rage, and anger. And it encourages us to cultivate a spirit of kindness, compassion, and forgiveness towards others, just as God has forgiven us through Christ. But by releasing that anger and embracing our forgiveness, we open ourselves to healing and reconciliation. And with that, that's how we can be able to be pruned of those negative things, pruned of that bitterness, pruned of the rage, pruned of the anger, and allow God to do what he needs to do so that we can flourish and bloom in the way that we need to. And the other scripture I would like to read is Proverbs 14 and 29. Whoever is patient has great understanding, but one who is quick-tempered displays folly. And so with that, patience is a virtue. Pruning is not going to take overnight. It's not going to happen instantly. And for some cases, yes, it will. But, you know, we'll have bigger things that where we are pruned from, where we have to grow. And we have to have that virtue of having that patience so we can gain insight and understanding. And when we respond with anger or quick temper, we often act impulsively and without thought. And so then we can have regrets some things of what was said and done. And so in this verse, Proverbs 14 and 29, it reminds us of the importance of patience and navigating through those difficult emotions, allowing us to respond with wisdom and discernment rather than acting out in anger. And so we should know that no matter what, that we should continue to, you know, just trust God and knowing that in the process of the pruning that he has our best interests at heart. And then Colossians 3:8 reads, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. And so in this verse, we are urged and encouraged to, get away from negative emotions and behaviors, including that anger and rage, because we can have that during the pruning process or during the process before the pruning. But by consciously choosing to let go of those attitudes and those things that we create those spaces for more positive and constructive ways of relating to others, and through prayer and intentional effort, we can release the anger and embrace a spirit of love and grace, and knowing that with God all things are made new. And so Matthew 5:9 is the last scripture I'm going to read. It said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." And that was Matthew 5:19. And so with that, peacemaking is just the central theme of Jesus' teaching. And then this verse highlights the importance of actively pursuing peace and reconciliation in our relationships. But by letting go of anger and embracing forgiveness, we align ourselves with God's will and reflect his love and mercy to others. So we have to be peacemakers because they are blessed. And then for they are called the children of God. So we have to know that being a peacemaker is just a teaching of God, what he desired, you know. And so we need to know the importance of pursuing that peace and that reconciliation in our relationships, and by letting go of that anger and embracing forgiveness so that we can receive the same. And so I just want to leave you with this quote from Henry Nouwen: "Grateful people learn to celebrate even amid life's hard and harrowing memories, because they know that pruning is no mere punishment, but preparation." And so when I was going through a few weeks ago, God said, "This is not punishment, but correction." And I have to take it at face value, because, you know, we go through things and we experience things in life and we just think like, why is this happening to us? Why am I going through this? What am I not getting? You know, I love everybody. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. But when we do things and we have things within our hearts or internalized, Jesus and God, well, God know those things that are within us that need to be changed and what need to be pruned and what needs to be removed. And so it's not a punishment, but it's preparation. So when we've been given the gift of life to make a positive difference in the world, and we should do so, because if God desires to prune us from those things to become better, to become who he created us to become those purposeful people, you know, I want to encourage you to settle for nothing less than the best version of yourself so that you can prosper in everything that you do and set your heart to. So with that, we have to know that, you know, there we have guidance. We have guidance from Jesus. We have, you know, I want to share a portion of in the book, Healing is a Choice by Stephen Otterburn. And in this last portion in the book, well, next to the last portion, it gives the final thoughts on healing. And so pruning is all about healing those things that are deep rooted in us, of those things that we are carrying around that's stealing our joy and our happiness and our peace. But we should want to desire to prune the past. And I hope that any of the strategies that I mentioned to release the healing of old wounds, you know, will resonate in some type of way. And through prayer, I'll be praying for anyone that desire it. But a portion of the book, it reads, you know, at this moment, it speaks on the healing, but it says, "At this moment, you hold within your hand something that no one can take away from you. Right now, you hold in your hand your future. This very second is the beginning of the future you choose. You can choose a future that is burdened by an unresolved past that clouds every day with sickness and confusion. You can choose to cope with that pain with all the different defective and deficient ways you have been chosen to numb the pain. And we have to remember to trust God through the process of our healing. And then we can choose a different future right now in this moment. Allow God to prune you into releasing your past and look towards the future." And so it goes on to say in the book, "You can choose to live to please God and not yourself. You can choose to live in His promises for healing rather than your history of brokenness. Your future is your choice. No one can take that from you. There are going to be some difficult times ahead of you. You can choose to be shocked by those, or you can choose right now to accept difficulty and pain and struggle as part of your life. You can choose to prepare yourself for the difficult times ahead by healing the difficult times you've experienced in the past. Today is your day, and you can use it to build the future you've always dreamed of. You can make a difference in this world. You're not the exception. Your body may not heal, but your soul can. Your mind may not always be little off-center, but your soul can be centered in God's healing grace. And then it goes on to say, I am begging you as a brother who loves you not to let anything stand in your way of healing. Let no man rob you of your joy. Let no woman take away the peace that is so divine it is difficult to understand. There is no excuse good enough to lead a life less than what you were called by God to lead. Heal through God's power. Believe that He loves you and wants to help you out of whatever you have been struggling with. Accept the reality of pain, but invite God to use it to help you and help others. I beg you to make one healing choice today so that someday you will be inviting someone else who is where you are today to walk the path you are walking towards healing. I'm asking you to give up your life as you know it so that you can find your life that God has for you. Take hold of your future today and make the choices that will lead to your healing. And then it offers the final challenge, but I just want to encourage you to allow God to show you what it is that you need to let go and release so that you can heal from old wounds and that you can prune the past things that need to be removed from your life so you can live in fullness and wholeness. And so that you know that no matter what you go through, that you can trust and depend on God. But then it has a final challenge in the book along with this chapter. And it says, I challenge you to make 10 significant choices in your life. And these choices will reconnect you with God and others in the healing process. And then it goes on to say, now I'm closing out this book with a final challenge to you. This challenge does not replace the other 10, but I believe it will help you in making the most of each of these choices. If you accept this final challenge, I believe it will change your life forever. It has already changed thousands. I believe it will implant in your heart and soul the words you need to persevere on the path to healing. I believe it can change the way you think about yourself and the way you think about life. It will take less than 5 minutes a day, but it could change the rest of your day. I'm challenging you to read the affirmation, "Today I choose to heal." At the end of this book, every day for 40 days, throughout scripture, 40 days pop up over and over again. It is significant to me that Jesus fasted in prayers for 40 days and 40 nights. So I'm going to ask you to start your day each day for 40 days by reading the following words out loud in a quiet corner of your world and your home. So it starts out with the opening prayer. Lord, I am broken and hurting due to the brokenness of others and mistakes of my own. Please use your powers to heal me and give me courage to make the choices I need to make to allow your healing in my life. Forgive me for standing in your way of healing me. Thank you for allowing my past to end 1 second ago and my future to begin right now in this moment with you. Amen. And then it gives the affirmations, and I'm going to go through and say the affirmations. Today I choose to heal. My healing begins right now in this moment. I am no longer bound by my sick past. There is healing in my future. For the next 20 hours, I choose to live free and heal. I choose to let go of past hurts I cannot undo. I choose to forgive myself for wrong choices in the past. Today, I dwell on what is good and right, not on the darkness I have experienced or on the darkness others invite me to live in. Today, I will live beyond myself and live for God. On this day, I will choose to fill my life rather than live in denial. I will not meditate away from my pain, sorrow, or anxiety. I allow each negative feeling to lead me to greater depths of healing. I will not drown out of or ignore my negative emotions. I will work through these feelings and move out of them. I will not project them onto those around me. When I'm unaware of what choice to make next, I will choose to do the next right thing. Today, I will not hide or run away. I will connect with those who love me and with those who need my love. Throughout this day, I will stay connected to God and ask Him to guide me and lead me. Today will be an adventure for me. I will take a risk and enjoy the unpredictable. I will not be governed by my fears. I will choose to do something uncomfortable that might lead me to know the truth about myself or live life to the fullest. I will not lie to myself today. I will seek the truth and will ask help when I need it. Today, I reestablish some boundaries that will protect me from unhealthy people and unhealthy situations. I will tear down some walls that are keeping some wonderful people from knowing me and loving me. If there is something ungrieved, lost, I will grieve it as much as I can today and then put it away. Today, I will choose reality and embrace it. I will embrace my life and pick up my life right where it is. I refuse to wallow in self-pity. I will not focus on what I do not have or what I might have been. On this day, I will not give up. No matter how difficult the struggle, I choose to persevere. Also, I will not let any excuse be strong enough to derail my path to healing. I will never give up or give in to an old life that did not serve me well. I will allow no one to discourage me. Today, I will heal and rely on God to deliver me through the choices I make. Today, I will allow God to control my life and each choice I make. I will make with God in mind and love in my heart. On this day, I choose healing. I will do what I can to do to heal and accept the limitations God has placed before me. I will accept that healing is sometimes slow and delayed and will grow in character in the meantime. Today, I will step aside of myself and serve others. I will find a need and feel it. I will find the hurt of another and help heal it. I will not become self-absorbed or filled with self-obsession. I will reach out to someone in need and do what I can do to meet that need. Today, I will ask God for God's help to live out His purpose. And then it goes on to say, today, I will live for God and not for myself. Today, I choose to live. Today, I choose to love. Today, I choose to heal. And if you're going to do this 40-day challenge, you know, I would like to hear from you, whether you inbox me or email me. Also, I don't know what you're going through personally, but this will give me a chance to just help me pray for you and the situation as we all support each other. And I'm going to support you through prayer and asking for God to bless you with the levels of healing for you and your relationship that you desire. But lastly, I would like to share a message that God gave me while I was on my transformation journey these last couple of weeks. And when I wanted to give up and when I didn't want to surrender and when I felt like it was, you know, other people problems or reasons why I was feeling the way I was feeling. But when God revealed to me that it was my own self in the way of moving and not being able to move forward or prune those things that I thought was supposed to be removed, He gave me this. And He said, "My daughter, I see your heart. This is a transition that you must experience in order for me to take you higher. You feel broken and confused because it happened suddenly. However, this is the perfect time, such a time as this. I see your faithfulness, your commitment, your desire to please me. You don't realize it now, but your best life is ahead of you. Trust me, you will not lose anything. Your heart will repair. The love you desire, you will receive. Is it anything too hard for me? I am God. You are afraid, which is natural. Trust me, nothing will harm you. Get in position. The bondage of need will be broken. Trust and depend on me. I am your source and resource. Continue to dwell in me. I am with you always. Remain in me. And that was given to me by God during this transformation journey that he had me on these last couple of weeks, and you know, uprooting those rooted things that I thought was pruned from me but was not. And so I encourage you to just lean and trust on God and ask him in prayer and ask him, what is it that you need to be exposed from? What you need to be pruned from? What is it that you need to release? What is it that he needs to do in order to position you in place in order for those things to be pruned? Whether somebody supposed to be assisting you on your journey or not, whether it's professionally or someone that you trust, and the Holy Spirit will lead and guide you and tell you on how and what you need to do in order to become healed and whole. Because at the end of the day, you know, you are worthy of love and compassion of who you are and your experiences, both those that are beautiful and painful that have shaped you into the person you are today. You can face that opportunity of growth and transformation. And so many blessings to you. I would like to finish up and end with a prayer, and may we go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just ask that you just see our burdens that we carry and the wounds that weigh heavy on our hearts and minds and spirits, oh God. Know that we can trust in you, oh God, no matter how the struggles are, oh God, that we are not alone in our struggles, oh God. And I'm glad that you are here with us, guiding us through this journey of healing and growth, oh God, and that you are worthy of our love and compassion, oh God, just as you are, oh God. And please, God, allow our experiences to teach us the things that need to be taught, oh God, both those that are joyful and painful, oh God, that has shaped us into the persons that we are today, oh God, and that we give you each thing that we face as an opportunity for growth and transformation, oh God. And when we feel overwhelmed, oh God, by the unwanted actions and behaviors, oh God, allow us to remember that you are here to walk beside us and offering a hand of grace and forgiveness, oh God. I thank you for the struggles that we face and that you offer the strength for us to overcome them, oh God. And Lord God, I ask that you allow us to know that it's okay to seek help and support from others on this journey, oh God, and to surround ourselves with the loving and supporting individuals who will lift us up and encourage us, oh God, as well as you will do the same, oh God. I ask that together in proxy with each other, oh God, that we can prune away those unwanted behaviors and actions that's holding us back from living a full, purposeful life that's filled with fulfillment, oh God. Allow us to trust in your power and love and forgiveness to heal our wounds and to set us free, oh God. And with faith, as you guide us, oh God, allow us to embrace the life of abundance, peace, and joy, oh God. I thank you for always being there for us and always being able to lead with your light, oh God. And I ask that each of us find comfort and solace in the words that was given, oh God. And I ask that you allow each of us to know that we're loved beyond measure, oh God. And I say thank you for just being so sovereign and so giving and so forgiving, oh God, and loving, oh God. We thank you and we say amen, oh God. We ask this in your Son Jesus Christ's name. We do pray. Amen. Here are a few resources I would like to leave with you. Please like, follow, and share our social media platforms on Instagram and Facebook. Also, listen to Apple or Spotify or your favorite podcast platform of choice for A Day's Journey podcast. Please make sure you like, share, leave a review with others. Also, don't forget you can purchase my Heal Out Loud Grief Journal on Amazon by Miyoshi Walker to help you through navigating your healing process. Also, I am super excited for the things that are coming up for 2024. I'm working on more items for the marketplace for you to assist you for your healing journey. Also, I plan to host some events in 2024, and also I'm structuring some interactive components, to share with you guys, and so that we all can be interactive. So I look forward to hearing from you and your feedback. And please, if you have any questions or anything, you feel free to inbox me or email me at the email provided, adaysjourneypodcast@gmail.com. Have a good rest of the week. Many blessings to you.
Thank you for listening to another episode. So, dear friends, step in and feel the gentle embrace of our community as we walk together on the path to healing and wholeness. Make sure you tune in every Tuesday by 4 p.m. to listen to Season 5 of A Day's Journey podcast. Don't forget to set those reminders, share, and leave a review. You can listen to A Day's Journey podcast on all podcast platforms. You can listen on Apple, Spotify, Google Play, and more. Please remember to join our community on Facebook at A Day's Journey Podcast or Instagram at A Day's Journey Podcast. Or you can send an email to adaysjourneypodcast@gmail.com if you have any questions or would like to speak with Miyoshi.